Hello, people, and welcome back to the Outer Bounds podcast. It's now still another dynamic duo, but this time it's not with Sam, it's with Kojo. He's back. He decided to come up with
I'm back. I'm back. The few weeks out.
Good stuff. Yeah, how you doing, bro?
The boy's back in town, do you know what I'm saying? Good to be chopping up some football and NBA action with Richard. So, yeah, man, glad to be back still.
Yeah. Obviously, as you mentioned before, talking about football, it was another big six clash on the weekend. We had City versus Liverpool, which has been the, I don't know if marquee fixture in the Premier League for like the past 7 years is the right word to say, but it's been one of the biggest fixtures because two best teams in the country going at it, even though Pep has been slapping Klopp in terms of Premier League titles. And it was another entertaining game, to say the least. But what was your take on the whole game?
Yeah, I thought it was a good game of football. I actually enjoyed watching that. I thought a draw was probably a fair result, although you could say that Liverpool kind of lucky to kind of get a draw, because obviously the goal was kind of withdrawn through VAR with Diaz's goal, which wouldn't have made it 2-0 Man City. Obviously, a lot of people's reactions were saying that it was kind of a soft decision to kind of overrule the goal. And I kind of would agree with that, because in my situation, I don't think what more else Akanji could have done. I don't see how that was an impeding on Alisson's judgment of catching the ball. But regardless of that, I thought both teams played relatively well. I think Liverpool, for most of the game, kept a good structure. Obviously, they didn't really kind of play a position type of game. They kind of sat back on the counter-attack. Played well in transition, and obviously looked quite threatening on the counter. And obviously, that's a couple of chances in the first half where they could have, gone ahead. City played well, keeping the ball, retaining the ball, recycling it well. One-on-ones, I thought Doku was a real threat. And was just causing, Trent problems and whatnot. And obviously, it was a good goal from Haaland. Two touches, bang, left foot strike. And obviously, getting that historic feat, obviously being the fastest player to achieve 50 goals in the Premier League. That's just incredible. It's just dumb. Like, he's a proper gunman. But the quality of the game, it was a good game. I don't think it was the best game of the season. I think that still goes to Chelsea Man City 2 weeks prior. But I think it was a good game. Liverpool could be proud of their performance. I thought they defended relatively well, even though they did withstand a lot of pressure in the first half of City. But I thought they kind of handled that very well. And I thought the way they kind of showed their stability in terms of, when they got on the ball, transition well and go at City, knowing that they're vulnerable defensively as well, and do your best to create as best as you can. And obviously, they did that with a Trent's goal in the second half, which was a great finish. And I think we need to give more respect to Trent as well as a footballer, because, we do criticize his defensive frailties at times, but there's a lot of stuff he does well defensively at times. But most of the time, he's doing his job well going forward. And I think he's kind of changing the shift of how we look at a modern-day fullback. Even though, as a guy who played football myself growing up, and playing as being as a defender versus a defender, a centre-back and fullback, my main job as a defender is to defend. And I think that's the biggest thing you need to kind of do correctly as a role as a defender is to defend. But he does a lot of stuff on the ball very, very well. And his goal on Saturday was remarkable. I think Liverpool can be proud of their point. I think it's shown to many neutrals that Liverpool are definitely a team that's going to be in the top four. A team that's been somewhat challenged as of right now, because I think that, are they 11 points to City right now, if I'm correct?
Liverpool a point behind.
Yeah, so they're close, neck and neck. I think right now, for many neutral fans, they're showing that, they're in the discussion right now. We're not saying concrete, but right now, 14 games in, they're in the discussion. So I think Liverpool have definitely, shown everyone that, last season was a massive blip. We're that good team. We can still play that, Gergen press football. We can still, be a team which can be a danger. We can still be a team which can be inferior and whatnot. And City, obviously, again, back-to-back draws, the first draw at home. This entire year at the Etihad, big surprise for them. But overall, I think it was a good game.
Wait, just what do you make of the because I saw a lot of conversation regarding the whole Doku and Trent, because you mentioned how. I saw a lot of discussion regarding the Doku and Trent thing, and some people were saying that, Doku caused Trent a lot of problems. He was ripping him all game, and then the other side that said that Doku didn't really do much. He just looked busy and stuff, but then he didn't really create much from whatever dribbles he did. What's your take on that kind of discussion?
I feel like Doku kept Trent busy. Like, he was always a threat. Every time he had the ball and he was driving and he was carrying the ball on that channel, he was always keeping Trent busy. I think if you had to ask Trent on his assessment of that game, I think he will say it was tiring on the defensive end. So I think you've got to give praise to Doku, because as a winger, what you're doing in one-on-one situations, in isolated situations, you want to keep your man, your defender busy. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Pause. But in that sort of way, you've got to keep, do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But you've got to keep him busy, you've got to keep him occupied. Do you know what I'm saying? And I feel like Doku, every time he had the ball, he was on the threat. Like, I feel like Trent couldn't have a time to breathe. And there was times where he kind of was a bit exhausted and a bit kind of fatigued from the work he had to do in terms of kind of keeping pressure on, you know, Doku. And obviously, we got Haaland's first goal. I remember seeing analysis on Sky Sports. You know, Trent could have actually probably, I can't remember the whole play, but I think it was Ake who played a pass into, I can't remember the play, but Ake was involved in the goal. I think he could have done much better.
Like Ake, he could have fired three guys before laying it off to Haaland.
Trent could have done much better in terms of kind of closing that space for allowing that ball to get into Haaland's vicinity. And obviously that created the goal scoring opportunity, which obviously Haaland converted. He could have done better than that. So it's those little things where, obviously, Doku's intense, you know, offensive display, attacking display, was the reason why that goal kind of came. And yeah, I think Doku didn't really create many kind of clear-cut chances, but the fact that he's keeping, you know, his defenders busy, he's looking like a threat. And to be a threat, you don't have to kind of create a clear-cut chance. You just got to be very direct. You got to kind of be very... It's more of an eye test thing. Like, you just have to look someone who looks threatening on the ball. Like, when you see him, you know that, oh, yeah, he can cause problems. And he was causing problems. Maybe not creating a lot of clear-cut chances. Yes, he didn't get an assist, but when you know you had the ball and he was one-on-one, you knew that, yeah, okay, cool. Trent has to kind of really focus here. He has to really make sure that he locks him down, or else, bro, it could be long. And you even saw one time, I think it was in the first half, where I think, and this is one thing I really read with Doku, where he had the ball, and I think he slowed down a bit, and then for a quick second, he burst with that quick acceleration, and done Trent and put the ball into the box, and went into the corner. So those little things, I think, kind of exemplify Doku's importance and his impact on the City team, that he kind of changed the tempo where it suits City, and it can create these sort of opportunities where it can lead to goals or kind of putting pressure on the defenders, which can eventually change the dynamic of the game. And I think Doku's impact was the reason why City looked very threatening on attacking display.
Yeah, I mean, I agree, because I think it's one of those things that I'm not going to say Doku could strength for the whole game. But I think was a reason for that, because of the coverage that Doku was seeing. Because when he did get the chance to go one-on-one, I think he did a really good job. I think he even set up, like, one of the ones that stand out is when he set up Julian Alvarez, and Alvarez smashed it over the bar on the counter-attack. And I feel like Klopp identified, obviously, what Trent is defensively. And you can see it was double-teamed every single time he tried to take in one-on-one. So he didn't have much of an opportunity, but at the same time, he's still able to pull players out of midfield with what he was doing. And as I said, like, he's had a really, really good start to the season. They talk about bring traditional wingers back. I mean, I don't think, even though I think he's been a great dribbler, just might be me hating, but I don't know. I don't see the silkiness of someone like Hazard or Neymar whenever he's dribbling and stuff like that. But that's just the way he looks when he's doing it. But I do think he was really good, and he made
I think with Doku, you know, I think his main definitive excellence is his athleticism, is his speed, his acceleration, his agility. I think with like your boy, your legend Hazard, my legend as well, obviously, I'm not going to demote Hazard, but you love him very much. And even Neymar, obviously, that sort of player.
I mean, it's just the way they're built, to be fair.
Yeah, like, it's just the way they're built. They pay more elegance. They pay more flair.
And it's still all effective the same in it, but it's just... Yeah, just quickly, what I want to talk to him before going to the next topic, because obviously, Haaland, you said before, quickest to score 50 Premier League goals.
Yeah.
Do you think, obviously, we can't predict the future in terms of his career, where he'd go, but would you say he's the next on course to break Alan Shearer's record?
I think right now, I think the stats show that he is on that track to kind of potentially break Alan Shearer's record. It depends how long he stays at Man City in the Premier League, because obviously... Yeah. There's been a lot of reports saying that probably the next 2 years he could be going to Real Madrid or maybe Barcelona. I don't think he'll stay at City for more than 5 years, personally. I think he will dip, probably maybe to maybe like a Real Madrid or Barca, like the top giants of world football. So it depends how long he stays in the Premier League. I think if he stays there for at least 6 more years, I think he's breaking that.
6 years. I mean, I think 6 years is a very short time to break 200 and...
No, it depends, because obviously, like, you got 36 goals last year. He's 22. This year he's turned 23. I don't know how many goals he's got this season, but I think this he might get less. But if he's on that trajectory for 6-7 years, let's say, right, which I don't think he'll probably be at City for 6-7 years, in my opinion, but you never know. If he's at City for 6-7 years, he's on the trajectory to break or even equal his record. Maybe not break, but equal it, which is still a great feat in itself.
I mean, I think one of the most impressive things I would say, because I've been critical of Haaland this season in terms of, in fact, since he's joined, in terms of how he needs to do more of his all-round game. But I think the thing that's impressed me is that he's got 14 Premier League goals this season, and KDB has only played one game. Because we've said that a lot, how Man City are a team, or Haaland is a player that relies on a lot of service, and he will get like 6 chances and scores one, which is still the case, but Man City have lost their best creator. And he's still able to go into the spaces to trust those teammates to still put those balls there. So I think it's still quite incredible how he's still able to do 14 goals. And obviously, I think it also puts the better conversation that he's just doing it because he's at City. I remember someone saying something like, if Haaland was at Chelsea, he would have the same faith as Lukaku in terms of the goal scoring. But yeah. I think you lose a creator like KDB and you look at who they've got in their midfield. They've got really a lot of great technical players, but no one there is really an elite passer in terms of, you get what I'm coming from, what KDB would offer. So, yeah. Obviously, moving on to the top of the league, Arsenal, they won in it. And Havertz, he finally got his goal, his first open play goal, which he scored the winner. And you can see Arteta was happy for him. You can see the hugs and all that kind of stuff. What did kill me, it killed me at the end of the game, but it was frustrating during the game, was the amount of times how they were talking about Ramsdale this, Ramsdale that, and all that kind of stuff. And it's a thing, whereas in the conversation becoming a bit boring now, because Arteta can tell you all he wants that having two number ones, you clearly see why Ramsdale was not the number one. I've said it going back to last season and the season before that, I don't think he's good enough to win Arsenal in the Premier League. Like, he's shot-stopping. Like, I think, in terms of kicking, I think he's one of the best playing out of his feet, even going back last year. I think some of the passes that he's made are for, like, on par with Edison. But in terms of shot-stopping, and he's come out and said he can't concentrate for 90 minutes and things like that. And then after the game, when they interviewed Arteta, and he was also being like, yes, Havertz needed this. He has a lot of quality. We have to trust in him. And then they asked him about Ramsdale, and he was like, the team played very well. And all that kind of stuff. And it's just like, do you feel like the media is right to all this clamoring for Ramsdale to be back in the 11 and all that kind of stuff? Or are they overdoing it? Because I think they're overdoing it at this point.
So what's your mindset in regards to the media's outlook on Ramsdale? I just want your contrast mindset so I can...
I think it's all to do with his British... And also, I think there's two things. I think one is British, and two is Arsenal are in the probably one of the best states they've been in many years. So yeah. I think they've seen it in terms of Aaron Ramsdale has been part of a squad that's helped Arsenal get back into Champions League for the first time in 7 years, and now he doesn't get to enjoy these Champions League performances or these big games anymore. And the thing is, my saying on it is, one, I think Cam said the best. On Dior, where he said he doesn't even have a God-given right to be starting anyways. And two, Arteta identified an issue within his squad. Like, I remember getting on the season and put the side to side with Brentford compared to Ramsdale last season. And shot percentage, I think Raya was higher. Kicking, Raya was higher. Goal prevention as well. When you're looking at the XG stuff, Raya saved Brentford. I think Ramsdale was under, so he was basically, he's conceding more goals than he should have in terms of like the XG of the chances and all that kind of stuff. So I think I'm Arteta with this. Like, if you identify an issue with the goalkeeper, you can't win the league with a mediocre. And I'm not saying Raya is that goalkeeper. Like, for all we know, he's going to get replaced in 2 years. But I think the best way to look at it is, even though it's a bit completely different, is you see what Liverpool did, how they had to go and they get Alisson. And then Alisson was there to help them change their fortunes. You saw Bravo with Man City. Pep Story once here and said, you know what, even though Bravo was coming from winning the treble and win the league at Barcelona, he comes in thinking, now I'm going to go and get Edison. And I think there's just different situations like that where the keeper is very, very important if you want to go and win the league. And Ramsdale is just not a title-winning goalkeeper.
Okay, I've got your position now. I agree. I see where you're coming from. And for me, I don't really pay attention to Ramsdale stuff because it's not my team, personally. I don't really care about Arsenal. I hate them. I do think it's been over-talked about a lot. Obviously, he got dropped for a reason. Look, Will Ramsdale, I don't think he's a terrible goalkeeper. I do think he has done well at Arsenal. Obviously, getting bought from Sheffield United, the 21-22 season with Arsenal, he was fifth. I thought he had a very good season. Last season, I thought he was quite good as well. This season, I don't think he's been too bad. I think, obviously, his performances are going to have dipped a bit, especially now you've got a new competition with Raya coming in and him having a great couple of years at Brentford. And obviously, Arteta wanted to kind of install that sort of challenge in each position, which is very great. That obviously meant that Ramsdale had to kind of take a backseat for a few games and affected his mental health. And I think that impacted his effort and his overall, contribution in training. And obviously, Arteta saw that. So he thought, I'm going to stick around for now. And obviously, I think, Ramsdale's come out and spoken about his mental health and how that's, played on him and how he's been trying to build that.
His dad has come to say he's lost his smile and
his mental health has taken a big hit and that's very, very serious. Obviously, that's obviously kind of been a big factor to why his performances may have, kind of steeped a bit. But I don't think Ramsdale's a bad goalkeeper. I don't think he's terrible. I think he is maybe not good enough to win Arsenal the league and whatnot, but I think Arsenal need other positions to kind of bolster their team to really become that team to say, we are going to eclipse Man City and become champions of England. But, Ramsdale, he just needs to kind of, take his time, rectify things that are kind of affecting him to being the best goalkeeper that he can be. And surely things will get back to place. Obviously, he needs to realise that he's got a position at Arsenal to fight for. And also he's got a position at England to fight for because we've got the European Championships coming up this summer.
I think he's
not going to be starting goalkeeper. Let's be real. Pickford's going to get
there.
Just to even be in the squad. Because you got other competition like Dean Henderson, Pope, them and there, Sam Johnstone, West Brom and that, I think. Sam Johnstone. No.
I don't know.
I think so, yeah. You've even got Trafford as well, at Burnley as well. So,
yeah.
They've even got a lot of talent in all positions. Goalkeeping right now, like I'm saying right now. So, Ramsdale needs to kind of just kind of fight back and kind of, get it together. And hopefully that happens to him because he's a nice guy, man. Like, for what it seems like, he's a humble guy.
No, fucking being a nice guy, man. No one cares. Yeah, I don't think he's done at Arsenal.
I'm not
going
to put that as a whole reason why I wanted to do well, but
But I think he's low key done at Arsenal because knowing the kind of manager Arteta is, when your dad comes out and he starts talking about how Arteta did it the wrong way and all that kind of thing, and then you can see he's kept avoiding the questions within the media with Ramsdale and Raya because he's bored of it, and then Ramsdale comes and be like, "Are you hearing the captain?" He comes up to me and he tells me keep my head up because he can see I'm not happy and blah blah. I tell the kind of manager to be like, "All right then, like in January you're gone." And I think he does kind of need to go because even if summer comes and Raya isn't the guy that's come and sign, I think they'll go out and go and find another goalkeeper. So
yeah,
if he wants to be a starting goalkeeper again in the Premier League, I mean, go and do it for like Fulham or something. Actually, no, don't go to Fulham because we don't want you taking Leno's place again. But we could go back to Sheffield in January or so. I don't know, do something. But
I think you should go West Ham. I think West Ham needs to move on from Fabianski. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Fabianski is OG, but the hammer's got to be from him. Do you know what I'm saying?
It's becoming jarring because every single time in commentary, he's like, did they really need to create this problem? You can see Ramsdale on the bench.
You should be surprised, though, because England, you got to remember that England are always going to big up their own. They're always going to talk about their own the most. Any story that involves an England player who plays for the national team, it's always going to be headlines. Especially Ramsdale, especially at Arsenal, one of the biggest clubs in the country, it's always going to be spoken the most. So I'm not really surprised. I don't really pay attention too much to it because I don't really care for Arsenal like that. Like, it's not really my cup of tea of interest personally.
Even if you don't pay attention, they'll just bring it to you in the commentary anyways. Like,
I saw them talking about it during the halftime talk, even before the game began as well. They're talking about Ramsdale being back in the time. I saw it all, innit? I was watching it, seeing what's going on, seeing what's going on and whatnot. I'm like, fair enough. Like, Mama's back in the squad. Hopefully, he can. Well, not hopefully, because I don't want to lose, but let's see what he does, innit? Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Obviously, he's got to show himself. to kind of, you know, guarantee that starting position, because he's gonna have a battle now. Because Raya's a good goalkeeper, not nothing crazy good, but
you know what,
he's giving competition, isn't it?
But he's better than Ramsdale for sure. And obviously, just moving on to the last topic, because we do need to talk some NBA. It's been a very, I don't know, I like agendas, isn't it?
Yeah, but
I think just agendas aside, I think the NBA has been quite good this year so far. Has been quite good this year so far, and stuff like with the games I have watched, and when I watched a lot of highlights and stuff. And but only I think we're only like 15 games in, but I think we've got a good enough sample size for the MVP talks to start. So, with what you've seen this season, who would you say is your MVP favorites?
You know, Jokic has been in the tier the last couple of games, but I feel like with Jokic, it's kind of normal now. He was doing it last season. He was doing it the season before. He was doing it the season when he won his first MVP. So I feel like with Jokic, it's kind of normal now. It's not new, do you know what I'm saying, isn't it? But statistically, what he's doing is mad. Like, he's averaging almost another triple-double. Denver are still like a top four team in the West, and you expect Denver to get better as the season progresses, because it's early on, and also Jamal Murray is going to come back, so that will add some extra wins to their column as well. But the fact that he's even playing this well without Jamal Murray, do you know what I'm saying? Like, he's still kind of putting up near triple doubles or even triple doubles in every single game. I think that's just mind blowing. And it just looks so effortless on him. Like, it's just so controlled, so poised. It's like it's so like easy for him. Do you know what I'm saying? And for me, this is why he's one of the best players, if not the best player in the world right now. But I think he's a good shout. I think also you got to look at, for me personally, I got to give Devin Booker. I think he's been on his grind as well. I think he's been doing well. Last night, getting that clutch winner for the Suns against the Knicks. Do you know what I'm saying? To kind of winning the game. He's been averaging 29 points per game so far. You got to remember that the Suns have been cut up and down to start the season, but they won the last five games. I think Giannis Antetokounmpo is also in that conversation statistically as well. I think he's averaging, 29 points. Yes, he had another good game, 33 points in the comeback win to beat the Trailblazers. I think Luka Doncic is doing relatively quite well as well. And I want to give you a lot of praise, Richard, here, because obviously I don't really do that a lot. Not to say that you don't really say logical stuff or good stuff about basketball, but you did make a good prediction so far, even though it's only 15 games in. But from what I've seen, I do believe that the Dallas Mavericks are a better team this year. I do think they will make the playoffs this year. Whether they're going to be a deep playoff team, I don't know. We have to see about that. But I think they should be in the playoffs. I think they're a better team. And Luka has been playing very well, as expected. I think Kyrie's playing very, very well. I think them two kind of gel together and are kind of buying their game plans as we speak. So I think Doncic is in the conversation. Booker, Giannis, Jokic. But I say number one right now, Jokic. And maybe Embiid as well, because Embiid, again, he's averaging, 30 points. Like you said, the NBA has been so good here that some of these guys who are putting up great numbers, it's normal that we've seen this year after year. And I want to be very original when it comes to my MVP voting. I want to get someone who we haven't expected for them to be doing this right now, and someone who hasn't won it before, because I do want to change the narrative a bit. Do you know what I'm saying? So that's why I think for me, I'll give it for Devin Booker, because I want something new. I want to see a different sort of narrative with Booker now. Do you know what I'm saying? But
so what's funny,
I mentioned doing their thing.
If you asked me like 2 weeks ago, about who the MVP frontrunner is, I would have said it's clearly between Jokic and Luka at the moment. But I think, obviously, winning counts for a big thing as well. And I'm not saying he's a frontrunner, but a name I want to kind of slip in is Anthony Edwards. Because I think what he's able to do with the Timberwolves this year has been, like, nobody saw them being the first seed at this point of the season. And I don't think it's one of those, like, when, I can't remember what team it was. I mean, remember, like, a couple of seasons ago when the Pelicans were the first seed and they ended up out of the plane and stuff? I don't think it's a situation.
I think that was last season, bro.
Oh, even last season. I don't think this is one of those situations. I think Anthony Edwards is the... And I think LaMelo has been great this year as well.
But yeah,
I think I was always an Ant guy, because I think the charisma and like the way he carries himself, I like people that are arrogant and can back it up and stuff like that. So I think he's been really good, and especially with Karl-Anthony Towns, he can't be your best player in the championship winning team, but I think he could be your second best player.
Yeah.
If Edwards continues to grow, Gobert, he's been brilliant defensively as well. Gobert, we never see that nigga in the post. This guy was posterizing JJJ couple games ago. So I think the way Timberwolves have been doing, I think, has been great. Obviously, I think the way Jokic plays and the way the Nuggets play when everyone is fit, because I think the reason they've gone down the standings is because obviously they've lost a bit of key players and Aaron Gordon like stunk it up like for a couple games in a row. But Jokic is just one of those players that I feel like, how do you stop him? Because even I think Embiid is having a great year as well. But then, and not that I'm criticizing him for him, but he does take a lot of free throws. And it's the same kind of thing that happened with James Harden when he was at his peak. When you get into the playoffs and you don't get as many free throws a game, your numbers start to go like downhill.
Yeah,
with Giannis, we know that Giannis is 9 times out of 10 unstoppable. But you can't stop him at the end of the day when you talk about the build-a-wall thing. I think his bag has gone a bit better in terms of, like, he can shoot fadeaways now. Or he's a competent fadeaway. He's not an elite or good one, but he's a competent one with Giannis. But with Jokic, it's like, offensively, he literally has no weakness. Like, he can kill you in the post. He can kill you from mid-range, from behind the arc. Like, his probably biggest weakness is slashing to the rim. But then when you can pass the way he can pass and you can shoot the way he can shoot and he takes players, because he's deceptively quick as well. You think he's slow, the next thing you know, he's like up and under.
Yeah, he's got a burst of acceleration where he faints and then he drives into the paint. There's just error. Does it look a little floater?
Yeah.
Gets a 2-point. And
obviously, because of his size as well, he's going to be some kind of deterrence on deep. He's not an elite defender. Mm-hmm. I think he's mainly good, but I think he's a decent defender because, like,
he's all right.
Like, someone that big, you can't just bully him anyway. So, I don't know. There's so many guys. It's like you say one guy and you leave another guy, and obviously, even age is not even a factor. But when you look at what LeBron is still doing for the Lakers this year, whereas in he doesn't have that many down game. Like, I think AD is elite defensively. But offensively, he's still hit and miss sometimes. Like, LeBron doesn't have that. LeBron is leading the league in fourth quarter scoring as well. So you can put
your goal has been the Mets, bro. Like, yeah. For me, I'm happy what LeBron's doing for my team.
Jason Tatum as well. You look at what he's doing. Celtics and other. Like,
yesterday, I think he dropped 45 points against the Hawks.
Yeah. I don't even ask this question because I really don't know at the moment.
Yeah, there's so many. Like, the league is so good. It's been so good this season so far.
Yeah,
there's usually like good 6-7 names you can name using the MVP discussion.
Yeah,
do you know what I'm saying? So it's quite hard to kind of narrow down to one. Enough. But it's a bit early. But
yeah, SGA at OKC as well.
Yeah, Shea's doing the thing. Even at home, great. Well, okay, I won't put MVP, but he's been playing well. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, if you look at his last seven games,
the year for me.
He's averaging 27 points right now.
He's rookie of the year.
I think you'd agree with this. The last 7 to 8 games, Shea Holmgren has been the number one rookie this season, bro.
100%.
100%.
He's shooting better than Victor from behind the arc and from the post. He's winning more, obviously, because he has SGA on his team. But I think...
Yeah, he's got a better team around him, yeah.
I still think Victor Wembanyama is the truth, innit? And I said there's not many rookies I'm higher, but I'm still high on him. But I think the Spurs have lost 12 games in a row now.
Yeah, they lost 12 games in a row. I think they got the second worst record in the NBA.
Yeah, obviously... I know.
Best records in the NBA. Definitely, like top three. Best records in the NBA.
And obviously, I know winning doesn't really count for rookie of the year, but I do think Chet is massively outperforming him at the moment. So, which is good to see. My old team, OKC, hold it, doing it down for bro. I know that kind of stuff. So,
it's not a shame, but, bro. But I like that as well. The football sense. No, so I let it pass.
I don't know. Giannis, I don't know, man.
It's tough. It's really tough, bro. I think early to kind of give a definitive one as well.
Yeah, so. but around this time, you have your, like, three people that you know that. And that's why I say, if you asked me 2 weeks ago, I would have said definitively Jokic, Luka, and Giannis are my top three. But I think, like, some of those teams, some due to injury, some have just a bit of bad form and stuff. They're not, like, 1 or 2 seed the way they were anymore and all that kind of stuff. So, I don't know, we'll see. You know what? I mean, fuck it, might be arranged. I'm going to say Edwards. Leading MVP for a run at the moment and stuff.
Fair enough. I can't. I mean, I don't think He's playing very well. In terms of stats, it's not on the level that Embiid, Jokic, Doncic, but he's been the best player.
Okay, so
I'm going. The team was unexpected to get number one right now, so I can see where you're going with it. But
let me just get Edwards' stats quickly.
Because I think he's averaging under 28 points. He's averaging less than Booker.
So 26.6 points, 5.9 rebounds, 5.3 assists on the number one seed in the West isn't bad.
It's not bad, yeah, and he's improved because if you look at those stats, his assists and his shooting have improved from last season. So he's making improvements. And I won't deny that, for me, you can maybe sneak into the MVP discussion. Yeah. And you can make a case maybe right now, he's the most improved player.
If KD was fit, he could, but Devin Booker, 29.4.
I'll tell you, that guy's the truth, bro.
5.4 rebounds.
I'll tell you, that guy's the truth, bro.
Okay, I can't lie. The 8.9 assists caught me out. The 8.9 assists caught. I know you've convinced me. Devin Booker's the MVP.
Yeah, this is why Stephen A. Smith calls him Kobe Bryant 2.0.
Yeah. All right.
Guys who are listening, when you watch this pod, I'm sure you've probably seen last night's game with Devin Booker. If you haven't, go and check it, because that one. Bro, probably one of the best closeout wins this season, bro.
Yeah, no, I've been convinced. I don't know, we're going to have to see what happens with the MVP race going forward. Like, there can't be this many people throughout the whole scene. There's going to be guys that fall off, especially when the standings goes. But we'll see what happens. But that is all we do have time for today. Thank you for tuning in. And obviously, welcome back, Kojo.
Thank you, back.
And stuff like going forward. But we understand people are busy. So, as usual, follow us on all social media platforms, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok at outbounds_UK. And until next time, thank you for tuning in. Safe.